Exercise is self-evident because this is, in the framework of time that we have, this is really the only way to get in the Bikiyas component. Or le'arbas ar bodkines achametz lo'arner. So or le'arbas, our or needs to be defined. We know from our own experience that it, of course, indicates the nighttime. Bodkines achametz, you have to search out the chametz lo'or haner. So the necessity of using a candle is established here in the Mishnah without any explanation. If it's a place that chametz isn't brought to, bedika is not required, and of course that needs to be analyzed as well. In other words, is it that there's no chashash of chametz being present there alone, and that itself suffices, or is something even greater required, something we would call like cheskas baduk, which we'll talk about this year, and the very fact that you don't bring chametz in that place establishes it not just as not having chametz, but it's as if you checked that place. You didn't check it, but it says if you checked it. Do you really need to establish a cheskas baduk? Uvame amru beishuros b'martev. Don't worry so much about this case, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. But makom shemachnisin bo chametz beishamay omrim beishuros al panei kol amartev ubeishilol omrim shteishuros achitzono shehin al yonos. So beishamay and beishilol had a dispute as to which parts of a wine cellar one might actually bring chametz into. Beishamay say that it's two rows al panei kol amartev. Amartev again is the wine cellar, and the idea is that there is a butler who's going back and forth between a table and a wine cellar, and maybe he brought chametz from the table down to the wine cellar, and Beis Hillel only say the two outermost, and don't worry so much about how this plays out. We'll talk about it later in the perek. But Beis Hillel have a much narrower definition, as one would expect, of where the butler may have placed the chametz. Again, don't worry too much about that. So Rashi says on the Mishnah, or l'arbasar, garcin on the or haner, b'gemar mefarish taima. The Gemara is going to explain why exactly we use a candle. Bodkin, this is the mani Rashi, shelo yavor ala v'bayira v'yimatze. So Rashi defines the purpose of bedikas chametz so that one will not violate the dual prohibition of the Torah. Bayira v'yimatze are two isurim midoraisa, two of the 365 prohibitions of the Torah. We're going to discuss some of the nuances this year between bayira and v'yimatze, but the simple understanding is that when you violate one, you do tend to violate the other. And then unless one has done bedikas chametz, it's entirely possible that there will be chametz in your possession, and you will violate bayira b'yimatze. Tosvos questions Rashi's doctrine. Pirush ha-kuntra shalo lavor lava bayira b'yimatze, kasha l'ri. Kevin the tzarech bitol, kadamik rara, habodek tzarech shivatel, that the person who does bedikas chametz also has to do bitol chametz, and midaraisa bitol b'alma sagi, and we know that midaraisa bitol is sufficient, so you don't actually have to search out the chametz, you could just nullify it, and once you've nullified it, it's no longer in your possession. Amai hitzrichu chamim bedika klal. Rashi's position doesn't withstand scrutiny, because if Rashi's concerned that you're going to own the chametz and thereby violate bayira b'yimatze, why is that so obvious? You can avoid violating bayira b'yimatze not by searching out the chametz, by simply bitul chametz, right? Divesting yourself of any connection to the chametz. That would actually be much simpler. And therefore, the Ri departs from Rashi's understanding of bedikas chametz altogether. V'nira l'Ri, da'avagav desagi bitul v'alma hechmira chachamim livdok chametz ulevaro shelo yavo la'achlo. This is the first and major machlokas in the first parak of Masachas Pesachim. According to Rashi, the nature of the din of bedikas chametz is to avoid v'alira v'alimatze, and the Ri disagrees. Again, who's picking up on the Ri here? The Ri says the purpose of bedikas chametz is not to avoid v'alira v'alimatze. After all, that's not going to be a problem. Presumably, you've done bitul, but Hillel, why are you doing bedikas chametz? Right, exactly. Even if you're not going to violate bayira b'yimatze, you might violate a much more severe iser, namely eating the chametz. Because all well and good to say up and down, you know, lihavi kehefker va'afra da'ara, right, that it's not mine and it's nothing to me. But, you know, when the rubber hits the road and it's Pesach and you've been eating macaroons for 5 days, you know, and then you see the Drake's cake, you know, the flesh is weak. And then you could come to a much more severe violation than just bayira b'yimatze. So that's the position that the Ri takes. Avogav de sagi bebitul b'alma, that bitul is sufficient for purposes of bayira b'yimatze. Yachmir cham livdok chametz levaro shelo yavo la'achol. V'chein ma'ashma l'kaman. He wants to bring a raya from the Gemara Yadaf Yudam and Beis. The bayirava kikar b'shmei korah, talking about a situation where there's a pillar and on top of the pillar there's a little piece of chametz. Odilma zilman de nafal v'asi l'michle. And the Gemara says the reason that you might want to do bedikas chametz in that situation is because we're concerned that you're going to come to asi l'michle to eat it. It's not so much an issue of bayira b'yimatze. Now, Tosos then has to deal with the next question, which is, okay, well, why in this area? There are a lot of areas in Halacha where there's an Isser Hana'a, Basar B'chalav, Kila'i HaKerem, Orla, all of these things have an Isser Hana'a. So why chametz are we going to be so machmir and say, not only can you not get Hana'a from it, but we're going to actually make you search and destroy it? That's a really interesting question. You don't have, you know, beer, basar b'chala, right? Nobody's requiring you to do that. And that's going to be the question that Tosos is dealing with. Okay, so Tosos then turns their attention to that question. V'atam shechmiru kan tvei mi bishari yisurei hana'a, chametz isn't unique as an isur hana'a, shelo hitzrichu levara, mishum dechametz mutar kol hashana v'lo ne'asa rak v'pesach, v'lo b'dili minei. So what makes chametz unique? Exactly. So it's a psychological factor, like Ben Sion is saying. It's not really fundamental to chametz, but because, you know, people are used to being able to get near chametz, lo bedili minei, people don't really separate themselves from it. Kida amar lekaman, and in that sense, lo dami lebasar bechala ve'orla ve'kila ayakerem she'isurim noheg isur olam. Okay, so the rest of these isurei hana'a don't really fit into this category. They're perpetually usur, and because specifically chametz has a certain kula the rest of the year, it's going to have a chumrah that when it's usur, we're going to actually make you search and destroy it. That's the nature of bdikas chametz. V'nazir nami isurei shari la'acharini. Okay, a nazir, even though you see what Tosa's implicit question here is, nazir is something which is not always usur, so why don't we require, you know, the nazir. Exactly. Why don't we require him to do that? So, anybody pick up on Tosus' answer? Isurei shari l'acharine doesn't really fit into the same category as chametz because it doesn't become asur to everybody. Okay? And in that sense, it's going to be different than chametz. Inam, you know, second answer in Tosus altogether. Shani chametz yechmiru batorah lavor bebali ra bali matze hechmiru chachamim livdok ulavaro afilu hecha debitlo mishum dilma asi lemichle. Okay, so this is a very interesting answer in Tosus. But Toso says, well, chametz really is different fundamentally than other Yisurei Hana. How so? Because other Yisurei Hana, you may not be able to benefit from them, but what can one do? One can possess them. Bali Rabbi Matze, one can possess them. And by virtue of the fact that the Torah says this, forget about extracting benefit, that's not unique to chametz, but this, you cannot even possess. And because you cannot even possess it, that gives us a little bit of an insight that we're dealing with something which is far more chamer. It really is categorically different. It's not idiosyncratic like the first answer. The first answer was, okay, you know, psychologically we're concerned. People just don't tend to stay away from chametz. This isn't so much psychological, this is objective. Well, chametz really is a different category. It's not so much extracting benefit that's the problem. It's possession in its own right. And if the Torah says, you are not allowed to possess this, forget about benefiting from it, that means that it's an iser chamer and it makes sense to destroy it. What would you compare it to? What's another iser? It's not just a question of getting hana from it. That you for sure. Very good. It's like avodah zarah in that way. That's the implicit point here in Tosos. Okay. Now, this opens up the door a very fascinating idea. Well, let's say you had chametz that was an iser achila, maybe an even iser hana, but it wasn't forbidden to possess. Can you think of such a category? Sounds like a funny thing. Iser achila, yes. Iser hana, yes, but there's no iser of possession. There actually is such a category of chametz according to Rabbeinu Tam. And that's exactly what Tosfos is going to turn his attention to now. So take a look just for a second on Daf Mem Beis, the very beginning of the third parak. Okay. So this is bottom of Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, talking about some unusual esoteric forms of chametz. Don't worry so much about the actual like recipe for each of these things. It's a category that I'm interested in. Ve'elu ovrin bePesach, for these you violate on Pesach. Rashi says, elu ovrin, aleihin bebali rabba yumatze. And the Gemara is going to explain what all of these things are. Elu ovrin bePesach, kutach habavli, sheikhar hamadi, chometz hadomi, zeisom hamitzri, zoman shal sabayim, amelan shal tabachim, all of these things. Ve'kolan shal sofrim, okay, some of the waste product that's involved in the production of ink. For those who are sofrim, scribes. Rabbi Lezer Omer Avtach Shite Nashim, cosmetics as well. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, Ze Aklal, Kol Shu Mimin Dagan, Hareza Over B'Pesach. Okay, anything which is Mimin Dagan, from the Chameshes Mine Dagan. As you know, Chita Sa'ora, Shibola Shul, Kusemes, etc. Hare Elu Be'azhara Ve'en Behem Mishum Kares. And the Mishnah says that this is a unique category. This is an Atzmo Shel Chametz, Chametz unadulterated, but because this is Chametz in a mixture, what we call either Taroves Chametz or Chametz Nuksha, diluted or weakened Chametz, it's only Aser Belav, Be'azhara, but you couldn't get Kares for eating these things. As we'll see this year, you can only get Kares for consuming unadulterated Chametz. So take a look at Tosos. Elu Overim B'Pesach, Peter Sakon Tris, Lavu Alein B'Bal Yirah B'Bal Yimatzeh. That's what Rashi says. V'gam Riva Medaktik Milashen Overim, Demashma Overim Mina Olam, that you're not allowed to possess them. In other words, there'd be an Isser B'Bal Yirah B'Bal Yimatzeh. V'ein Nira L'Rabbeinu Tam. Demashma D'chol Hanach Marbinan Mikol Machmetzes Lo Sochelu. It sounds like all of these items that are listed in the Mishnah aren't really chametz proper, but they're considered, as I said, tarovas chametz. V'afilu be'achila lo hamachayev ilav derabinan kara. And if it wasn't for the special pasuk of kol machmetzes, which includes in the isra chametz even tarovas chametz, you wouldn't even have an isra achila. Umehechitesi by rabbi matzei. So how can you say that these things have an isra of possession? V'nira l'rabbeinu tam de'elu overin perash ha'ochlan. It's only usher to eat these. V'ovrim hainu me'al ha'shulchan. In other words, you can't have them on your table. T'lav v'nei mechal ninhu. Aval bal yirah leka. So what's important about this Tosos is Tosos establishes that when it comes to some dilute forms of chametz, there is which kind of iser, but not another kind of iser. There's an iser achila and hana'a, but no iser possession. Bal yirah bal yimatzei. So let's just one second, Binyamin. Let's just now plug this back into Tosos' logic. Tosos wanted to know, if I don't subscribe to Rashi, I don't think that Bedika has anything to do with Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Bittel takes care of that. So why do I do Bedika? Either because I don't trust myself, I'm not going to stay away from it, so I have to destroy it. That's answer number one. Answer number two is the reason I do Bedika is like searching and destroying Avodah Zarah. This is an Isser Chamor. How do I know it's an Isser Chamor? It's not just Aser Be'achila, it's not just Aser Be'anah, it's Aser to possess. But let's say you had a Chametz, which was not Aser to possess. Would you have to do Bedika's Chametz? In other words, when you're doing your bedika, just ignore anything which is either perhaps taroves chametz or chametz nukcha. So let's just see Tosus' answer and then Binyamin and Hillel. Okay, so Tosus says, and according to the second answer, Nira l'Rashba, de afilu l'fi tam ha'achron, even according to the second answer, tzarech lomer dechmir chachamim b'chol chametz afilu b'chametz nukcha v'al yedei taroves. Even when, with respect to those areas of chametz where there is no iser bal yirah bal yimatzei, afagav deleka bal yirah leferish rabbeinu tam bereishe lo overim, de ha'amar siur yisarev, because it says over there that one of these examples of chametz nuksha should be completely eradicated. V'hainu chametz nuksha k'demucha chasam. Okay, v'ikal man damar nami hasam de kol shekein chametz gamur al yedei taroves mashma de aser lahashoso, that it is subject to bedikas chametz as well. Okay. And then Tosus goes on to elaborate on that point. So what we really have here, and then we'll take a pause, and I know that there are a few questions, is Tosus has a fundamentally different view than Rashi as to what the function of Bedikas Chametz is. Bedikas Chametz is not to solve the problem of, oh, I'd be in possession of Chametz and violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. For that, again, Tosus says, what would be more effective? Bittel. But Bedikas Chametz either reflects psychological weakness, that you know, because we're not regulated to staying away from Chametz, we're going to have to be additionally careful about it, or, even more interesting, it reflects the idea that categorically Chametz goes far beyond your standard Isser Achila or Isser Hana. How do I know? Because the Torah, very uniquely about Chametz, says that it can't be possessed either. And so Tosos draws the conclusion that Bedikas Chametz would be necessary to root it out, a la Avodah Zarah. I think, Jacob, you were right on with that comparison. And just to go half a step further, Tosos says, is that it categorically applies to Chametz, even to those areas that are not subject to Chametz Nuksha, that are not subject to Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, namely Chametz Nuksha, or Chametz Al Yedei Ta'arovis. Binyamin and Hillel.
I'm still looking at what is the distinction between the two types of Chametz?
Oh, between, so chametz al yedei tarovis means you had standard chametz, but then you threw it into tarovis. It's been mixed in with other things. Chametz nuksha is—it's not so much a question of tarovis, but it's old or dilute. It's not the kind of chametz that you would normally eat. Well, neither of them have officially bal yirah bal yimatzeh, but Tosus is saying that both of them, nonetheless, are subject to bedika. Chametz nuksha. Chametz nuksha is, again, weakened or diluted chametz that the normal person would not want to eat.
So, like animal food?
I'm sorry?
Animal food or something like that, maybe?
Well, the animal food is an interesting question. Yeah, so let's say something that an animal would eat but a person wouldn't eat might be a good.
Like Listerine?
An animal would eat that? I don't know.
That's
possible. I don't know. Right. So, that's one of the things we're going to talk about this year, that normally when it comes to Hilchos Kashrus, something is not considered non-kosher on a Torah level, as long as it's eno ro'ei la'achilas adam. Chametz is an exception to that rule. Chametz has to be eno ro'ei la'achilas kelev. It's even go beyond that. Yehuda, I think Yehuda. Very hell.
Yeah, why are we equating Bayram by Masay to ownership? Can you hold that together?
Yeah, so that's a very, very intricate question. That's going to take a long time to solve that question. But the simple interpretation is that one triggers the other. That's what it sounds from the Rambam, is that anytime you have Bali Ra, you have Bali Matze as well. It doesn't actually mean to see it. It means really to possess it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to take a look at that. It's actually going to be a sugya that we look at.
You see someone else's chametz.
Right, so you wouldn't violate it. Shalcha, the pasuk says, Lo yira l'cha chametz, shalcha yataroa,
Ataroa shalachayim mishal gaboa. And what if you own it but you don't see it?
Right.
And are you still?
Yeah, exactly. That would be a situation where bal yimatze would trigger
by rav. You don't find it either, just in your basement.
Right. Right. So there's different formulations, but the simple answer is yes. That's why, just to simplify, I'm using the term possession. Okay. So that's the opening tosis. Oh, I have five too.
Yeah.
So we'll go till the top of the hour. So my or. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, or le'arbaser? So Rehuna amar nigi, it means the light of day. Rav Yehuda amar leili. Kasalkadai tachtamand amar nigi nigi mamish, amand amar leile mamish. So our initial presumption is that this machokus between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda is a serious one. So Rav Huna is saying the light of the morning, and Rav Yehuda is saying the light of the evening, whatever light would exist then. So meisve. So can't we prove from the following pasuk that really when it says or, it means the light of the morning, Haboker or v'anashim shulchu, that the light of the morning came and the brothers were sent from Yosef's palace. So here, or is associated with the term boker. So alma or yamamahu. So the Gemara rejects this and says, no, not so fast. Miksiv ha'or boker. It doesn't say that or always means morning. It says haboker or. It just means that the light of the morning came, but not that the term or always means boker. Okay, haboker or ksiv, kamanda amar tsafra, which is Aramaic for boker, nahar, the light of the morning shines. Or we would say in English, top of the morning to you. Rav Huna Merav, Damer Rav Huna Merav. La'olam yikanes adem b'chitov, yetze b'chitov. Always a good piece of advice that a person should make sure that when he's traveling, to leave when it's already light and to come to his destination when it's already light, so that he never endangers himself. Meisve, another question, trying to prove the definition of or. Uche'or boker, yizrach shamash. Like the light of the morning, the sun will shine. Alma, again, or is being used with boker, or yamamahu. The Gemara similarly rejects. Miksiv or boker. It doesn't say or equals boker. It says uche or boker ksiv, v'hachika amar. Uche or boker ba'olam hazah, ke'en zricha shemesh letzadikim le'olam haba. Okay, just like the powerful light of midday in olam hazah will be neitzachama for tzadikim olam haba. There's all kinds of interesting language that associates Olam Haba with the shining of the light. So basically, tzaddikim in Olam Haba, the tradition goes, will be zocha, will merit a very bright light. And we're saying that the light in Olam Haba will be so powerful that the first light of the day, which is typically a little bit weaker, will be like high noon is be'olam hazeh. Okay. We're just saying that don't worry about this pasuk proving that or equals boker. What the pasuk actually meant to say is uche or boker, like the light of midday today will be the light of the early morning in Olam Haba. So again, don't worry too much about the derivation, but the point is that the light of the early morning will be very, very powerful, lasid lavo, and there's no proof that or la'arbasar equals boker itself. Okay. Meisvei, vayikra Elohim la'or yom. Okay, that seems like a better proof from the Torah itself, that God called or day. So or le'arbasar must mean the 14th in the day and not at night. Alma or yamamahu. So again, the Gemara rejects and says, Hachi kamar le'meir uva kira'o yom. So the increasing light is what God called day. Ela me'ata v'lechoshech kara laila. But could you possibly say the same thing about nighttime, that as it got increasingly dark, God called that night? That doesn't make any sense. Le'machshech uva kara laila. That when it's getting dark, that's nighttime. Don't we have a clear halacha that until Tesa Kochavim, now this is important halachically, that until Tesa Kochavim, it really is daytime. So that you would only use Choshech once it's already Tesa Kochavim. Ella hachi kamar kari rachmana lahonra, that God called over the light, upakdeh mitzvasa diyamama, and put the light, namely the sun, in charge of the day. Vekariyeh rachmana lechashocha upakdeh mitzvasa delaila, and God called to darkness and says, you're going to have the run of things at night. Okay. So again, the important thing from a halachic point of view in this Gemara is this Gemara makes it very clear that Laila starts when? Seisak Ochavim, right? And at the time between Shkia and Seisak Ochavim, we would consider a, not definitely Laila, but Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Okay. So that's an extremely important point because that will have many halachic ramifications in terms of, you know, various practices, whether it's Kriyat Shema, whether it's Malacha and Shabbos or Yom Tov. So that's a very important thing. And we'll take a quick look over at Tosos tomorrow, because that'll be the end of the Gemara that we covered today. Binyamin will get the final word.
I'm a little confused how they could. Why are they on a debate about a halakhic issue? They're quoting Sukkim that they obviously have nothing to do with the situation.
That's true. But the Gemara will often do that, and the Gemara will assume that there are multiple layers of meaning to the pasuk. So again, the Gemara has failed in its quest so far to come up with a definitive proof that or means either day or night. But we have seen some interesting things along the way, including the fact that the Gemara is very clear that Tzeisa Kol Chavim is the beginning of night, and that you can't say that before Tzeisa Kol Chavim is nighttime. Okay, so just again to very briefly review what we saw today, the Gemara is trying to figure out whether Or is Boker or Laila, but already in the Mishnah we have two competing views about Bdikas Chametz. Rashi again says that Bdikas Chametz is to avoid the problem of. And Tosa says it can't be that because what would have solved that problem already? Bitul chametz. So what's the point of bedikas chametz? Either because we're afraid that you're going to eat the chametz lo bedili minei because you have it all year round, or the other possibility, chametz has a greater chumras ha'isser. How do we know? Because of the isser of bali rab bali matzah. Now what about types of chametz that don't have bali rab bali matzah, namely chametz noksha or shlomo? Chametz al yidei tarovis. What about those? Are they going to require bedika?
Yeah.
So the Rashba, according to Tosa, says yes, they will require bedika. Okay, so we'll pick it up there tomorrow.